I see that the Magi have finally arrived. We've been waiting for them. You see, the reason we still have Christmas decorations up is because, as Chris mentioned in the announcements, there are 12 days of Christmas. Christmas tide goes through Epiphany, which is always January 6th, which is tomorrow. So today is Epiphany Sunday. The other reason we still have our Christmas decorations is because you have not put them back in storage yet. This Tuesday at 6:30, you get that chance. Now, Sherry and I, unfortunately, will not be able to be with you. We leave today, right after the service, for New York. For the past 7 years or so, I've had a special checkup at Memorial Sloan Kettering for a little tiny cyst I have on my pancreas that always checks out fine every year. And it will this year too, but especially since I'm taking Sherry's oils. In fact, last year they told me they believe the thing is shrinking a little bit. They've never seen anything like it with Sherry Bean, right? But I do ask for your prayers tomorrow morning, because they have to run dye through my veins for the MRI, and I'm a really, really hard stick. And it's hard for them to find my veins, and I don't like needles, so please pray that the woman who always sticks me strikes oil right away. Our minister of music, Ray Ellis, and our administrator, Randy Kennedy, will also be flying to New York with us, not to hold my hand while I get stuck, but because this is also a God on Broadway research trip. Isn't that convenient? By the way, we'll be announcing the shows we're using for God on Broadway a lot earlier this year than we normally do. That will give us more time to plan and rehearse and work on the sets and costumes for these special services that occur in October. If you've never experienced it, it's a really neat time every Sunday in October. And I think we'll be ready to announce the shows we'll be using in February next month. So choir, you'll have plenty of time to memorize those words and music. But that means Sherry, Ray, Randy, and I will not be here Tuesday to help put back the decorations. And that has me concerned. We usually don't have a great turnout for this. You know how we human beings are about putting up our toys. So we've asked Tim Steinhauser to head this up on Tuesday. So please, if you are available, please come and help Tim. If he doesn't get much help, he may never speak to me again. So come if you are able. It's 6:30. Epiphany Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. The signature story, of course, for Epiphany is that of the Magi, which is found, that story is found only in the Gospel of Matthew. And so we always sing the hymn, We Three Kings, using three male vocalists. And it's fun, of course, singing along with them. But I especially love this Sunday because of what Epiphany Sunday symbolizes, what it means. The word Epiphany means manifestation or appearance, discovery. Something hidden has been revealed. It comes from a Greek word that means to show or to appear, and the English word cellophane is derived from it, because what's underneath can be seen. I've had an epiphany. Aha! I see it now. The overriding message of the Epiphany story is that God has made an appearance. What makes this appearance especially special is that the appearance is not only to Jews, but to Gentiles. The Magi were not Jews. Mary and Joseph were Jewish. The shepherds were Jewish. The story of the Magi was important to our ancestors because it let them know that God came to connect with all people, Jews and Gentiles. Now that may sound like very old news to you and me, but it was extraordinary to the people of the early church. Because, of course, Christianity grew out of Judaism. The first followers of Jesus were Jewish. And they did not encourage Gentiles to join them in following Jesus. There were many debates and arguments about whether Gentiles could or should be included. Even more arguments than the Methodist denomination has, believe it or not. And so for the early church, Epiphany was a very big deal. We don't think of it that way now because we just assume Gentiles can be followers of Christ. But at that time, Gentiles were outsiders looking in. They were excluded. And if you fell on the side of not allowing Gentiles to be part of the way, which was what the early Christian movement was called, then you probably loved Luke's version of the birth story of Christ that included, that is about the Jewish shepherds. But if you were in favor of allowing Gentiles to participate, then you probably said, but remember Matthew's gospel. It talks about those Gentiles, the Magi. They worshipped the Messiah too. And so the writer of the Gospel of Matthew introduces Jesus by way of a story that shatters religious traditions and brings strangers, outsiders, into the spotlight. It's right there at the very beginning of the Jesus story. And before this Jesus story is over, Jesus will shatter all of the old boundaries of religion and race and social class and status and gender. Before his story is over, all the outsiders, the marginal, the unclean, the lepers, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, poor people, women, children, foreigners, Roman soldiers, everybody will be included. Everyone will have a place at the table. And before it's over, Jesus will scandalize the most pious, orthodox religious leaders by his radical inclusivity. He doesn't know of an outsider. He doesn't understand that one of the functions of religion is to define the tribe, draw lines between us and them, and then build walls of doctrine to keep us away from them. He doesn't understand that way of thinking at all. He tears down the walls, he crosses the boundaries, flings the doors wide open, and welcomes everyone home. And it begins here, right here, with these Magi. And of course, it's important for us to understand this Epiphany and its significance because we, of course, are supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to have a church and a table, a heart that includes and welcomes everyone. Thank goodness for Epiphany Sunday. What a wonderful epiphany it was. But as we move into a new year, this story offers many more epiphanies that can guide us and help us in 2020. And so let me share several of those with you. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew, of course, knew the Hebrew Scriptures backwards and forwards, what we call the Old Testament. And he knows that in the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it is proclaimed that leaders from all over the world will come bearing gifts to the Lord of Lords. And it says in Isaiah that these foreign leaders will come bearing gold and frankincense. But as you know, when Matthew tells his story, he adds a third gift, doesn't he? Myrrh. Myrrh was a funeral balm. This was an ointment that you used, put on someone after they had died. Remember how Nicodemus brought myrrh to anoint the body of Christ after he had been crucified. So why in the world would Matthew introduce a death balm into the birth story of Jesus? I believe he wanted us to have an epiphany. He wanted us to see what God was really like. You see, up until then, gods were viewed to be very manipulative of human beings. They were thought to be into handing out punishments to those who deserved it. And if something bad happened to you, then you or one of your ancestors had done something wrong, had sinned, and messed up. And God, the gods, were punishing you. If you were sick, or if a relative died, or if you were crippled or handicapped. But Matthew wants people to see that this is not the nature of God. The epiphany that Matthew wants people to have is to see that God is willing to suffer in solidarity with humanity. That God is not a spirit of vengeance or violence or suffering. God is a spirit of love and empathy and compassion. That God understands our suffering and pain. And God walks with us as we suffer and cries with us. And so don't beat yourself up wondering why tough things are happening to you when they do, and they will. Find comfort in knowing that God understands your feelings and walks with you. Another epiphany that can help us in 2020 is to realize that it's important to have other people on the journey with you. We don't know how many magi there were. Legend tells us 3 because of the 3 gifts. But there could have been 50 magi or just 2. We don't know. We just know there was more than one. And the magi did not take this journey alone. They thought it was important to take the journey with others. And so too, it is important for us to take our life journeys, our faith journeys with other people who are also on the journey. With people who are searching for the divine. People who are star followers. Who have a spirit of hope and faith and love. And so a church should be that kind of community of star followers. People seeking the divine with relentless hope, encouraging one another, praying for one another, helping and serving one another, traveling with others enriches our journey. It impacts our lives in countless ways. Don't journey alone. One more epiphany I'd like to share with you, and it comes from singer-songwriter James Taylor, who wrote a song called Home by Another Way. And the song begins with these lyrics. Those magic men, the magi, some people call them wise, or oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys. They visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. Then warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Home by another way. Maybe me and you can be wise guys too. And go home by another way. When I moved to New York to pursue theater in 1981, doing a few things, and that's how, of course, I met my wife, Sherry, through a show. But around 1983-84, I started feeling called to the ministry. Felt called to going to seminary, but it was really hard for me to let go and take this new path for me in life. And I struggled with it for a couple of years, and then in 1985, the senior minister of the church I was attending, Arthur Caliandro was his name, Arthur had just had open heart surgery, and somehow I was asked to help him and his wife home from the hospital. I would flag down a cab for them and help them get their luggage into the cab and then ride with them to their apartment in Manhattan and help them out there. During the ride, Arthur turned to me, asked me how things were going with me, and I shared with him the struggle I was having of letting go and taking this new path. And I'll never forget what he said. It was life-changing for me. He said, Billy, there's nothing wrong with having a plan B. Everyone needs a plan B. And somehow those words were just what I needed to hear. And what I discovered later is not only is there nothing wrong with a plan B, there's especially nothing wrong with a plan B if it's what God wants you to do. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Has something for you to do. And so throughout this new year, be like the Magi and be open to the movement of God's Spirit in your life. Be open to something new, open to something different than what you planned or anticipated. Be willing to take a different path, a different way home. Will you bow with me in prayer? God of star watchers, you call us to ventures untried, paths untrodden, and perils unknown. Guide us. Empower us as we journey together and not alone. Help us to listen to you and to those around us and to all creation. Let us be alert for epiphanies in this new year. In Christ's name we pray.